All right, 6 o'clock, and we're going to call the work session in session. So we're going to start with the dog control tonight.
So I asked this to be on here. A couple weeks ago, there was that horse that was found in the woods, right? So I actually called the dog control on that, thinking it's animal control. Called at 4 o'clock, didn't get a response. I then called Saturday, because Saturday I was attacked by two dogs. Well, one dog. There was two dogs that were loose in my neighborhood. I opened up my front door. There was two dogs in my front yard now. One attacked me. I called the dog controller. Left a message. No response. That was on Saturday. On Monday, I finally got a call back by a detective for the horse. And I said, well, I understand you're handling this, but what about my call about the two loose dogs in my neighborhood? Well, we didn't get that call. An hour and a half goes by, I get another call by the dog control guy, right? He says he didn't receive that message that I left him. I said, well, it says right here on my phone, I spoke to you for 43 seconds, I left a message. I said, well, I got you on the phone, I got some questions for you. To my understanding, you guys are covering the town 24/7. He says, yes. I said, so if I call you at midnight, you're going to come out? No. So what do you mean? Your coverage, the town 24/7, you're not going to come out? He goes, no, we're actually done working at 3 o'clock. He goes, you can leave a message. We'll get to it the next day. But the assumption is you're going to capture that dog, and then you're going to call 911. Then the police will come, and they know what to do. And then they'll contact us. So I said, so you're asking me to be the dog control guy for the day or the night and keep this loose dog that I just captured in my house or in my garage until you arrive? He says, yes. I said, well, let me ask you this. What happens if the dog is loose and it's attacking people? Then what? Well, you got to call 911 and then the cops will know what to do. I said, okay. I asked the guy where he lived. He said, why is that important? I said, well, I want to know how long it's going to take you to come to Lysander, right? And that's a valid question. You want to tell me. He goes, the only thing I'll tell you is my truck is in East Molloy Road at the SPCA. So I said, well, if you live in Pompey or Fulton, you got to drive all the way to SPCA and get your truck and come all the way back. He said, yeah. So to me, the contract that we signed or thought is kind of misleading because they're really not 24/7. We're spending $20,000 on this. He did tell me that they did capture 120 dogs in Onondaga County, but I would like to know how many you captured in Lysander, right? What are we really paying for? Because at 3 o'clock, they're gone. And then on weekends, they don't check their messages until Monday. So if you leave a message, they're not going to get that until Monday. So.
Well, and apparently they didn't get your message.
They didn't get my message at all. He says, well, other residents are happy. I said, well, I'm not happy because I left the message. You didn't get my message. You know? So I think it's misleading because they're really not 24/7. And the way the police departments are today, do you think they're really going to know, each police officer is going to know who to call when there's a loose dog? And what resident can we expect?
Yeah. They don't.
They don't. And what residents can we, why would we want to expect the residents to capture that dog?
No, we don't want that.
This was represented to us that this was going to replace us having our own dog control officer. And everything you're saying is, I can tell you a similar anecdote. I think I told you what happened about a year ago with my daughter and a loose dog on our road. And what was represented to me by the SPCA people was, we apologize. There must have been a phone snafu, but we're there the minute you call. And obviously that's not the case. No. It used to be, and I'm not saying we need to go back to that, but just in terms of a model, when there was a loose dog, either yours or just a strange dog, and you called the dog control officer of the town of Lysander, that gentleman was out within an hour and captured that dog.
Right. And then we could have a loose dog attacking little kids. And then what? You know, we're going to have to wait 2 hours, 3 hours for this guy to get there. And God forbid, if it's after 3 o'clock, we're in trouble.
So if a constituent calls 911, they said they're going to send the sheriffs out? Is that who they're sending? Who are they
the
sending?
The sheriffs then will then, in turn, come out, and then the sheriff will then call the dog control guy. They have a backdoor number supposedly to him.
I don't think the state police will take those calls.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to determine which agency. Yeah, because at that point, then you can talk to that agency and say, do you really do this? Like, you get a 911 call about a dog, do you really?
Well, to make it even more comical, when I did call 911 last year, and the 911 receptionist said, why are you calling us?
Yeah.
Well, that's my question, Bob. Actually, that's my question.
I did request a guy to be present here or a representative from the SPCA. I went with Nancy Mott. I guess Dana's taking care of it now, and they will have a representative here from the SPCA, if not the dog warden or dog control guy, next Thursday, next meeting, 2 weeks.
Next work session.
So these are all good questions that we got to come up with and, you know, cover.
Yeah.
Not to throw too much gas in the night fire. If some of you recall the dead dog down here on Woods Road at the turnaround.
Yeah.
That dog ended up staying there all weekend into the following week.
Who ended up picking it up, Jerry?
I think
I had crematorium, Pat Crematorium
yeah.
To
yeah.
pick it up.
At an additional cost?
For a fee.
Right.
My G? You would have picked that dog up, right?
I would or
you would have.
I would have. That dog would have been disposed of, but I don't want to get into the various means that we had.
Yeah,
we don't want to.
The fact that we have a contract issue is enough to deal with.
The board threw me out, so.
We have a contract issue, so we got to have that rectified. So I just wanted to bring it to all your attention. So, you know, we really need to look at this contract and see, really, are we getting what we're paying for? I don't think we are.
Well, I'm sorry you had the experience, but I'm glad in some ways that you were the one that was exposed to this, because we wouldn't be aware of this if you hadn't had that experience.
I was what, Roman?
I said, I'm glad you hadn't. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you brought it for me.
Yeah.
Well, Bob had a similar experience, too.
Bob had a similar experience.
Yeah, and I thought it got put to bed last year. Everything was resolved. It was just a snafu that should have never happened, but obviously that's not the case. That's
still more snafus.
Seems to be more snafus. I mean, I'm not happy about this because I don't even want to be critical of the SPCA, but it sounds like we're not going to be able to get what we want unless we do something different. So that's kind of scary.
Could you get the contract from Dina, you know, before then, and just review it for us? You and I have talked about it.
Yeah, I emailed it to you.
Oh, I was going to say, I have it right here. I can copy it right now.
Just now? Or
no, you can.
Oh, she can email it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very clear, the contract. It's not very specific in terms of here's the protocol. It doesn't lay out any protocol.
Not the protocol at all. I mean, it says promptly respond to, enforce with the provisions.
I would suggest that we put together a list of things that we want answers to before they show up for the work session. That way we're not bombarding them with things they're not prepared to answer.
That's a good idea.
You know what I mean?
That way we can...
Oh, we'll send them a list of questions, sure.
That's what I'm getting. Send it to them ahead of time so that they...
Yeah,
they,
it's not... Yeah, you know, don't come in unprepared.
I don't want to give them the answer.
I want Tony to look at it and look at the contract, and then we'll come up with a list of things. We'll send it to them by the end of next week. And
I mean, it sounds good on paper, but... It says such services will include, as necessary, seizure, removal, and shelter of any dog found to be the subject of a violation of the above referenced law, which is the Article 7. So it looks like on paper that they should have been able to come and get your dog and come and get your dog.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, but obviously it's not, so.
Well,
perhaps
we'll take some time to look at them and we'll come up with our questions.
Let me make a recommendation, or maybe not a recommendation, a suggestion. I have no problem with having them come into the next board meeting, but it's almost like they're on trial or something. And it's the SPCA. It's a reputable organization, and rather than put them in that kind of a setting where this kind of very formal setting, why not, Bob, Supervisor Wicks, and you and another council person meet with them and just talk turkey with them over the next week or so and see if you can resolve something and then bring it back to the board, whether you've got something resolved. Because this is, this is no different than any other contract or conversation that you have with folks. I'm not trying to hide anything, but I'm just saying, you know, it's almost too highfalutin to do it at a board meeting, if that makes any
sense.
No,
yeah, I understand, yeah. It's a contract negotiation, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, that's. I'll throw that out. I mean, it's just find the time.
I'm good either way.
I'm good.
I'm good with that. I mean, I'm good.
That's the way you want us to go. We can set something up.
I got a feeling you're going to ask the same questions that we've come across.
Well, if you got questions, send them to me. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll send it to them ahead of time. You know, and then when they come in, we'll say be prepared to, you know, address these issues that we have.
I'm good with that. I'm good with all that.
Okay. Okay, Roman.
Perfect.
Cannabis.
So we've been talking about marijuana legislation for a little while. I know we had a public informational meeting, wasn't a public hearing, and we got some opinions from residents. I think this is something that we need to vote on one way or the other to determine if the town is going to opt out or if they support one of the two options that we have or if they support none of them. So I've been looking into some draft legislation from the Association of Towns. I was going to put something on the agenda, but I'd like to get a public hearing set up. So my hope was to have some wording for the next town board meeting, to schedule a public hearing, listen to feedback from the residents, and then go forward with voting one way or the other. How does the rest of the board feel?
Well, when you say a public hearing, the only way we would have a public hearing is if we actually proposed a specific law. So
right. So
we have to come up with the language for the law, and then secondary to that or subsequent to that would be the public hearing.
Right.
So I think the first issue is what law, if any, do we want to pass?
So I'm looking at a couple different sample pieces of legislation that other towns throughout the state have looked at. The Association of Towns gave me a little bit of a sample. But if the town wants to do something unique, they can do so. The deadline we have is December 31st, though, that if we're going to opt out, we need to do it before December 31st. And the way the attorneys explained it to me, it was explained to us as well during our informational meeting, is that we can always opt in at any time. And the attorney, Lori, who I spoke with, said a lot of towns, because the state hasn't determined who's going to sit on this cannabis board, are opting out. A lot of towns are opting out.
Well, they have a board now.
They have a board now.
Yeah, they identify.
But my question would be is if you opt out now, you can opt in later, but are they going to have enough licenses to give out? Because those licenses are going to go quickly.
So
you may be opt in, but there's no dispensary here because no one can get that license.
And the other thing with opting in later, I don't know that the town shares in the revenue. It seems to me like during one of the informational meetings, and I could be wrong, I'm not positive on this, but it seems to me like I recall that, yeah, you can, if you opt out, you can opt in later, but you don't share in the revenue. Now,
that's contrary to what the Association of Towns told me.
Oh, is that okay? Like I said, I could be wrong.
Yeah, because I asked that specific question. We opt in, it doesn't do us any good if we don't get the revenue.
Right.
And she said, in her opinion, we would be entitled, depending on whether we had our income here from our place,
mm-hmm.
and we would share in whatever it was to be shared. We wouldn't be cut off from that.
Yeah.
Now, the thing Lori mentioned to me as well, Jeff, was that even if we are completely open to everything, she said there's no guarantee that, you know, a developer is going to want to come in and use one of our locations.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't be concerned if somebody wants to come into the town. If we make it legal or accessible, they're going to come in.
I've already gotten calls, so
yeah,
there's people
I think that if the town wants to do that, I'm sure that there are places and people that would want to. I'm not concerned with the licensing.
Well, the thing is, the state only has so many licenses to give, right? So
I don't remember.
The state only has X amount of licenses to give, but I've read.
They're going to control the boards.
Right.
They're going to control everything.
Yeah, so they may.
How many licenses you get, how many whatever.
Yeah.
It's all strictly theirs. We really have nothing to say about it.
No, right. We don't have anything to say. But my point is you could have 10 towns, you could have 100 towns that opt in, mm-hmm. but the board only has 10 licenses to give out, right? Or the vice versa is, you know, you could opt in later, but guess what? We don't. There's no licenses, so the town doesn't take any revenue, doesn't receive any revenue benefits from that.
I'm not sure that the number of licenses has been determined already.
No.
So I think what they do is they determine when you make an application, they look at the circumstances, the others in the area, you know. I think they deal with them as it goes along, but obviously at some point in time there's saturation.
Right, exactly.
So whether it's 10 or 15 or whatever, they totally control. I mean, they were just picked. I think they're still coming up with the rules or regulations of within their advisory group as to what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
We just have to decide. I agree with what Bob is saying. Before we have a public hearing, we have to decide what's the law that we're going to do. Because if we don't do anything,
it's automatic.
Then we're,
right, and that would be my point. We're not. It's not really an opt-in, opt-out scenario at all. It's either opt-out.
Right.
Or nothing.
I would like to opt out. So right.
Well, I'm gathering that from the conversation.
So my position is opting out of both. I don't think there is consensus on the board to opt out of both. But I would like to at least put up the option so board members feel comfortable either voting for one, voting against both, you know, to give the individuals a decision on how they feel.
So you would like to have a resolution that we can vote on to opt out.
Yes.
So that our position can be made clear.
And they did tell me that this is subject to a permissive referendum.
Yeah.
If we decide to opt out, the residents have 45 days to go out, grab petitions, and totally overturn our decision.
So, one more thing before. So, Roman, you've had a rather busy fall or whatever. Were you here for the? I could go back in my notes, but were you here for the public meetings?
Yes.
So you know already the public that showed up. You know their opinions.
I know the people that showed up. There was a consensus of people supporting supporting one option, but they didn't necessarily feel comfortable with a facility where they could go smoke.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
There seemed to be consensus for a distillery from the people that showed up.
Dispensary. Yep. I get it. I didn't mean to correct you. I'm sorry.
No. So those were the people that showed up. I also got people that I've talked to in the community that were very much against both. I got people that I spoke to that were very supportive of both ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a mixed feeling in the community.
So this should be very simple. We should put on the docket two resolutions. One for opting out of the dispensary approach, and the other one opting out for consumption. Let's hear from the public and then we'll vote. I have a sense I know what this board's going to do, and I don't have any problem putting my cards on the table. I'm really uncomfortable with the consumption part of this. I wish the whole cannabis thing never even appeared, but having said that, I could probably begrudgingly be happy with a dispensary kind of set up. But put both resolutions, put both laws out there, formulate the laws. We have nothing to be worried about. We'll vote our conscience and first we'll hear from the public and boom, we're done. And then if there's a consensus to opt out of the consumption part of that, then we don't have to worry about that. We're done.
And I'll echo what Mr. Grassi just said is I feel the same way exactly.
Yeah.
I don't like to have a consumption bar here in the town. Dispensary, yes. Consumption bar, no. It's not a good idea. And I think I expressed my concern last time and I called it a crack house. But,
The other thing I caution us about is if we do, we have to make sure we do the resolution the right way. Because if it's a permissive referendum, the public gets to vote yes or no on what we voted on. So let's say we say yes to one thing and they want to say no. Our resolution initially is going to have to be carefully drafted in that if you're going to do one thing, the retail sales, okay, and you're going to do the other thing, not okay. We just have to make sure that when that matter gets on a vote for them, that they understand what it means.
Well, why wouldn't you make it two separate laws?
You could. I don't know. I mean
that's your job.
Two different dates, too. Like, Roman, would you feel, I know this is what you want, but would you feel comfortable, like, for example, do one today and then, obviously we're not doing today, but then a month later do another one?
No, I'll do them at the same time. Don't confuse the public. But just, Tony, that's your job. You write it really clearly, as black and white as it has to be. Where, and then the public knows exactly what we're voting on and what they're giving.
Just so that you know, that Tom Camillus, I spoke with the attorney just last week, and I said, what did you do for your permissive referendum? And he did something totally contrary. And I said, well, that's not what the Association of Towns is advising. He says, I think they're wrong. I swear to God.
I believe
he's a friend of mine. That's the way he's always been. Right. He says, our board doesn't want it. That's the way we're going to do it. I think, push it to the shelf, if somebody wanted to challenge it,
yeah,
I think they're going to have a problem doing what they did.
Right.
Because I don't think he broke it down into, you know, we want this and we don't want that.
Right. That's why I'm saying it's so important to keep them separate.
And we could do that. We could say we opt out of both. But then what do you put in terms of the permissive referendum?
Right. You know, we got to be opted out of something specific, yeah, and then we got to make sure it's carefully drafted so that if it did pass, we can live with it.
Right.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. That's a good point.
I've got all the documents from the Association of Towns. I have notebook this big.
Okay.
Yeah, so
and I can send you the stuff.
Well, I can tell you the village of Fayetteville and Manlius and Manoa, they were opting out because villages can. You could probably call them and see what they got.
Village of Manoa and what was the other one?
I think, well, Manlius. It's either Manlius, Manoa, or Fayetteville.
Manlius is one, yeah.
Yeah, so they probably have, because they probably use a, you know, similar attorneys, maybe not, but I know they opted out because they're villages and they can, so they probably already drafted something. I mean, why not take a look at and see what they got?
I mean, it's easy if you, in terms of what we first have done,
right.
It's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're not going to do anything, we just don't do anything.
Right.
If we can easily say we don't choose to participate in retail sales or we don't choose to participate in consumption. I mean, that's easy to do. The confusing part is to the public, if they say, well, we want to challenge it, which one are you challenging? And are you challenging both of them or are you challenging one?
Right. I mean, right, and what does no mean and what does yes
mean? Just, it's confusing.
Because, I mean, right, right. Because they could vote contrary to what they are thinking.
Exactly.
Because of the way the resolution is written.
Exactly.
We want to make sure. We want to make sure it's clear.
I said to this attorney, I said, you know, what did you put down or what are you going to put down for the vote? He said, oh, we're going to figure that out. He said, well, you got to do it to give them the option to take one or the other. I said, because you have that option. He said, I disagree.
Okay. Would,
okay.
Okay.
The law is pretty clear.
We have 5 board meetings before the end of the year. Would it be reasonable to ask within 2 weeks we can have something, or should we wait for?
Well, how many days do we have to give 5 days for a public hearing, right? So that would only give Tony 9 days to write that up. I don't know that that's enough time, is it?
Well, no, we wouldn't do the public hearing next meeting, would we?
We would just schedule.
We would vote on the law, and then how does it work again?
We'd have to have a law proposed.
Right.
Which written law proposed in order to call a public hearing.
Okay.
Right.
So then we're talking about not the 21st, but November 4th.
Yeah.
That would be great. That's plenty of time.
Will that give the residents enough time to...
That's going to be the day we go over the budget, too, that night. It'll be a long meeting.
Well,
okay. Or we can schedule a special board meeting.
No, you don't want to do that.
We're going to do the public hearing for the budget on November 4th.
Yes.
I mean, we could do a public hearing right after that one if you wanted to. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. I know we can. I mean, you know,
just, I mean, that's an option.
It's okay with me.
Yeah.
I'm here till everyone leaves.
Yeah. All right. So
whatever you want to do.
If you guys can have it, Tony, if you can have it ready for November 4th, that would be excellent.
Do you want to put that resolution on tonight to advertise for the public hearing, or do you want to do it?
No,
because we don't know what the language.
We don't know what the language
is.
Sure. That's why
exactly
we're waiting.
What,
right.
Exactly what the
yes.
resolution. Okay.
So if we have a public hearing on November 4th, when will we vote on the legislation?
That night.
We vote on it that night.
Do we want a public hearing? Do we want to vote on it the same night as the public hearing?
we do with everything else.
I would be, the only thing I would caution you again is if there's a lot of people making a lot of comments, if you vote on it the same night that all that happens.
Yeah, we can adjourn.
You're saying, thanks for talking, but no, we already made up our minds.
Yeah, but if we say we didn't get anybody.
If nobody comes, then you certainly
can. Then we could. But if we get a ton of people, then we might have to adjourn it, table that for another meeting.
Yeah, you vote on the next meeting because you got another month and a half.
Then it gives them time to make their citizens' comments.
I would hope that we got a ton of people, and I would hope that we took time to digest what they said.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
You could get a ton, you can get 50 people.
Yeah.
All you got to remember is you got 20 some odd thousand.
Right, 23,000.
And the people that are going to come here to talk in favor of it, the people who are opposed to it most likely won't come in here and talk very much. I think the people who are in favor of it are going to come and try to encourage us to pass it. That's just my feeling. That could be wrong.
Well, it could be, but also there's a certain responsibility to the citizenry to. If this is that important a matter to them as we are making it to us, then guess what? You should show up to the public hearing.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's not human nature.
Well, I understand, but then you're, then if you if you don't do something to let your voice be heard, and someone else did do something to let their voice be heard, I'm sorry, I've got to go with the people who made their voice heard. Whether I agree with it or not, because I represent people.
Do we know what the tax implications are yet? I mean, if you opt out of the consumption bar but keep the dispensary, do we have any of that information?
Yeah, it's 3% of the sales. That's what the town gets.
Right. So if we opt out of the consumption bar, does that affect?
No, it doesn't affect it.
Because at the June meeting, we didn't know any of
it. Yeah, it's just on the distribution side. Anything else? Well, it's 20 after. Go ahead. You can.
Work session.
Yep.
A couple of these motions. I have questions. Okay. Motion C, where we're supposed to discuss this. I would not vote to accept dedication of that section of road at this time because it needs major repairs in the base culvert.
Okay.
Okay, just so you know, I would be against that because the way the motion's written, we own it.
So we actually got a punch list security on that, Jerry, and a maintenance guarantee. So we're covered.
Right, but us accepting it, there is some residents down there that are already being lived in, so we'd be plowing it. There are areas of that pavement that are so broken from their heavy equipment that they'll disappear over the winter when we plow.
Okay, so
they need to make some repairs before I would want to accept.
So we actually have the security.
Mm-hmm.
If the developer, we would go out, we mark out the areas that we want him to repair. If he doesn't repair, we can call on the security and make the repairs. So. Let's meet with Mr. Alberici and
I just don't want to see it forgotten, that's all.
Let's just meet with Mr. Alberici and we'll show him the areas that you want fixed and we'll get them.
They need to be boxed up.
Why don't we do that prior to us voting on it? That's what I would say.
I would too, because I agree. I want to make sure before we take ownership of any road,
we'll
I want to make sure that
motion C. Okay. What else, Jerry?
Motion B. That one kind of caught me out of the blue to see that one on there.
Okay.
But in looking at that, you've got a June 1 date moving the salary for that position up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about that salary in general. We had meetings a while ago where we discussed the position of Highway Secretary.
Yep.
And this is some things, but we discussed it, and I just wanted to review it, just so we're all on the same page in regards to the position. At previous meetings, we basically hashed out, this is just some salary. We hashed out the hours, 8 to 3:30. I just want to review this. okay?
Okay, that's not what we're voting on, though. We're not voting on the, we're just voting on that position, the salary for your current highway secretary.
Okay, we'll just talk about that, then. Currently, that position was supposed to be 1760 come January 1. The individual, our secretary, was off probation in December. We talked about it last budget time. Oh, good, okay. And we put in a request to bring it to the 1760, and it was done. But then due to union contract stuff, there was some foggy areas as to who was in, who was out. At that time, it was said she could be in. Well, then it was said she couldn't be. So her salary was held at 1550, even though her position title changed July, I don't know, it was in July of the preceding. Okay, over a year ago, she changed to secretary to the highway superintendent. In the fall, we budget requested the 1760 an hour effective January 1st. She was already going to be off probation. You held her at 1550, okay, until your contract was decided. Well, now you decided it. Okay, she's not in it. She's not a union participant. So my feelings on that to the board are you've got a June 1 retroactive date. The 1760 should be retroactive to January 1st. Come June 1st, per the contract you agreed on with the people here, it should go up by 6.25% because she's considered part-time, which would have her hours worked from June 1st to present. Wouldn't be 1760, they'd be 1870, okay? I did do some calculations on this. That what that all amounts to, those movements, the total sum of back pay that would be owed this individual based on the hours worked would be $2,539.52. That'd be from January 1st to present with those bumps. Her current salary should have got the 6% raise June 1st like everybody else.
Well, her current salary can't get that until we vote on it, and we didn't vote on it. That's why it's retroactive to June 1st. The board has to vote on her salary because she's not in the union. We voted on the union one last week, and she's getting the same.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Well, let me explain how we came up with that.
Go
well,
ahead.
Just we, the union contract, their pay was retroactive to June 1st, so they didn't get anything from January to June 1st either.
No. But hers was supposed to be 1760 June 1, but it was held at 1550 because the statement was made that until we clear this up, nobody's getting raises.
That's right, because we're not going to give one person a raise and other people not a raise.
She was excluded from the union contract, is my point. So from January 1st to June 1st, she should have been receiving the 1760 because she wasn't in the contract
well,
as a union member anyway.
As you know, there was a question whether or not she was going to be allowed into the union or not, and that wasn't resolved until sometime in June.
So what I'm saying to make her whole at this point in time, we're talking about $2,539.52.
Using your calculations.
Using my calculations.
From January 1.
January 1,
based on how much?
Based on the hours she worked.
Based on what salary?
1760 from J1. To June 1,
mm-hmm.
and from June 1 to today, current, would have been the 6.25 raise against the 1760 an hour, not against 1550.
I would like to say that I tend to agree with Jerry Hull on this. And I guess I'm looking at it the same, and I do this a lot, guys, I know I do, but I think it's valuable. I look at the way Onondaga County treated its management confidential people with respect to pay raises. Management Confidential was not a union. It's no different than the highway secretary. It's no different than any of the people that are left out of the union here. The union in Onondaga County was CSEA. CSEA negotiations would take months often. The year started in January. The contract might have not have been settled until June, maybe September. Management Confidential did not get a raise that whole time. The minute the CSEA contract was adopted, Management Confidential got the pay, usually retroactively.
Well, they didn't all get them, though. Because I know there were instances where only a certain few would get them, and then other Management Confidentials wouldn't get raises at all. So that was on a very selective group of people that were working for the county executive.
Can I finish? Yes.
But I want to clarify that.
Okay, but
that wasn't a true fact.
Elected officials did not get raises. I agree with that. It's the people like appointed positions, like the Commissioner of Parks and all of the other Management Confidential people under the Highway Commissioner, the Commissioner of Social Services, none of the elected people, they were in a separate category. The county executive did not get a raise based on this. Anyway, in terms of trying to look at all of us, I don't really care whether you belong to a union or not in terms of what we pay you. If the union negotiated the, what was the percentage?
6.5%.
And there were some raises in January 1 of 2021. The town clerk got a raise. I don't know if anybody else got a raise.
No.
I did. The highway superintendent got one.
Other than elected officials.
If we want to quibble between January 1 and June 1, between 1760 and 1870, I guess that's a good argument. But after June 1, I think this title should be at whatever the equivalent would be, and I'll take Jerry's word for it, at 1870.
That's what this calculates to, the paperwork I just dropped in front of you. That basically was part of the review process, management exempt and all that. And in that little packet, there's the salary steps. There's 22 of them for this kind of position.
And that's the county. But I guess what I'm saying here is
the rock bottom one's over 20. So,
for example, where do we go for, let's say we resolve this. So you've got the parks director, you got the highway superintendent. Is this your secretary exempt from the union? Not in the union?
She's
in the union. Whoever else. Whenever we negotiate with the new union, whatever that pay rate is, I would be the one that would say, let's give it to everybody and just be done with it. You know, and not quibble over who doesn't get it and who does. And because to me, for a few thousand dollars here in terms of goodwill, just do it.
And I'll say it for you. You've been here 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, not 10, but all right.
Okay, almost 10. But one of the reasons that I was told, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Al, was that the non-union people felt that they were being treated unfairly by the board, because union people were getting a higher raise than non-union people. And what I did was correct that, but that was one of the reasons why, and you can chime in, am I correct in that assumption?
Yes.
One of the reasons why they sued the town and had a, now they have a union. So we don't have any choice in that. But you were on a board that consistently gave non-union people less than what union people were making. You had all those opportunities. We might not even have a union now. So that's kind of inconsistent with what you're saying today.
I don't know if it is.
Well, okay.
It right now you've got a situation where what is it, 98% of the employees here, with the exception of the town board, are part of this union, or belong to one or two unions. I don't want to single people out.
And
I'm almost, I have to say this for the record, I'm happy we have the union now, because you know what, now everybody can get treated pretty much the same.
And here's the thing, the parks superintendent is going to get a raise that's in the budget, 2.5% like all the other employees. The comptroller is going to get a 2.5% raise. The secretary of the highway superintendent was given a 6.25% raise on the 1550, just like anybody else, retroactive to June 1st, just like everybody else. So how is that not fair? She's getting exactly what everybody else is getting.
Well, let me ask you this question. What was the highway superintendent's salary before we turned a year and a half ago? Was it 1560, 1550?
When this individual was hired as a clerk.
The person before the individual.
Oh, the person before was at 1760.
So why would
with
we
how many years of experience?
With experience, though.
How many years of experience?
She was here 14.
Okay.
That doesn't matter. It's what the position pays. See, that's a sticky point.
Well, no, that does matter, because if you get hired as a deputy with or any position in Onondaga County, there's a step system, just
yeah,
like you said.
Right?
There's a step system. So if you come in with no experience, you get a starting pay of, we'll use $50,000. But the top deputy are making $72,000. So someone coming in, but they make exceptions for somebody coming in with experience, so they can
Start further up the steps.
Might start further up the steps.
Look at the paper in front of you that I dropped there. Look at the bottom step that's highlighted of a secretarial position, and tell me why you're arguing with me about even after the 6.25 compounded on top of the 1760, why are you arguing with me about her landing at 1870 come June 1?
Well,
when the rock bottom step, no experience, secretary position in the CSEA union is over $20.
Yeah, and is that a tested position?
And?
Is that a tested position?
Stop a minute. Let me finish for a change.
I was just asking you.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you.
I doubt it.
Hey, here I have a piece of paper in my hand where we made contact with Tom Clay, who has two positions over there, like positions. Okay. One's highway secretary, one's informational aide. Both are full-time. Both are $24.32 an hour. Okay. Village of Beeville secretary, part-time, $19.43 an hour. Town of Cicero, highway secretary, full-time, $19.90 an hour. Slated for an 8% increase, by
what's,
the way.
What's Van Buren?
Van Buren, part-time, $15.94.
Okay.
Now let me finish. Okay. Currently, that town is also discussing a bump in pay there. All right. Town of DeWitt, $18.60. Town of Geddes, $16.81. I didn't go hunting the high ones. I hunted ones that were more like us. Okay. Town of Manlius, $21.97. Average those eight, and you've got $20.16 an hour. Kind of mirrors the county bottom step. That's my point. I average things. I do the math. And so you're arguing with me about paying this individual $18.70 when everybody else averages up higher. And you made the statement yourself many times, you want our people in a like job to fall on the median.
Right. Well, so what's the median? The median's $20.
The median.
You don't have Onondaga in there. You don't have Tully. You don't have Fabius.
Oh no, I wouldn't.
You don't have Marcellus.
We got 25,000 residents here and 120 miles of road, and the phone rings off the hook. Tully does not. I'd be surprised if they had a highway secretary at all.
And just to remind all of us, we've added duties to this job. We've added the Parks Department duties.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we did?
Well, that was part we've never finished. That's what I was hoping we'd finish this evening.
Oh, we didn't do that yet?
We're going to have to go into executive session and talk about that.
Well, I hope we do that, because it seems like we're getting a lot of bang for the buck if we do that.
Okay.
In terms of one person being able to do a myriad of activities rather than hiring two separate people.
Do we want to have an executive session before we vote on this?
I would like to.
Well, there definitely seems to be a lot that needs to be cleared up here. So
we have to have
we
have to have an executive session on an issue that occurred here today, a workplace violence issue with two employees, and I put down here salary discussions of a proposed new position.
So we obviously do have to have an executive session. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have that executive session between now and the time that our board meeting starts. It'd be impossible.
We
may have to table this as well.
We can table that one.
And see what we do at that point.
What's going on since January?
Jerry, I don't know that there's anything we can do about it. We're obviously not going to resolve it. We're not going to resolve it in the next 15 minutes.
I'm sorry, but why would you have an executive session to discuss a salary on a position and not about a person? If it was about an individual person, I could see why an executive session would be warranted. If it's about a position and roles and responsibilities.
It's about a position and a specific person.
Well, several times I heard this specific individual, several times I heard that.
Well, in terms of the motion you've got written, the person is named and the salary is put in, and the date of June 1 is on.
I get that.
I feel that's in.
Oh, no, this is different. We're not going to be talking about that.
Right. But I get it, Jerry. But,
yeah, you know.
But that motion, obviously, is the water's been muddied through the discussion. So that motion, to me, we need some more discussion, more than we're going to be able to do in 15 minutes. And I could be wrong, but that's what I'm gathering from this crowd sitting around here right now. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
I think the Me Too clause getting removed out of the highway contract is what started the town hall issue, if I remember correctly. There was a Me Too clause in the highway union contract that got removed by a previous town board.
Yes.
Okay, but then they chose not to include that in. So, yeah, that is a problem. According to the people that sued the town.
Town board members then started to go on about people paying more for insurance and worrying about raises after the Me Too contract was awesome.
Nothing we can do about that. I don't think anybody was here during that. What's that?
There was a couple of people on the board that were here.
All right.
Well, I sat through those work sessions. I don't remember.
It wasn't me, so
I don't know. But I didn't.
Okay.
Mr. Supervisor, are we adding a resolution for another budget transfer?
Yes, I have it here. F. You want to explain to them we got a little bit of time, your budget transfer?
We requested a transfer.
And you should have the
on Tuesday.
Yeah, we got it.
Because we're aware of where our numbers are, and we're getting bills from vendors on Willett and West Entry at this point in time. Perceived shortfall because a lot of the monies that were approved by the board at previous meetings for these two big projects are reimbursement monies. Okay. Some of those monies we probably already have. I don't know if that's the comptroller's job. You know, the finals that were submitted back in the spring when we did road sections, we submitted for our full CHIPS, our full EWR, our full paved New York, whether those monies are already in our reserves or wherever they put them, okay, I'm not sure. But I know we did the paperwork to submit for the full value of those parts of the program. But of those parts, only $103,000 was actually in our budgeted maintenance and construction parts of our budget.
Right, but the $60,000 we can't even,
we
won't have that.
Huh?
We won't have that because that's in addition to...
You may already have it because I have to look back in the paperwork on the money that was submitted back in May, June when we started paving roads and we started getting bills from vendors. I think we covered those in their entirety because we already had our ship's notification of funds at that time. I could check my file.
$163,000 worth of chips, you think?
That would be in the comptroller's hands.
Well, it would be...
whether we received it or not.
No. You have to put in the documentation for it.
Okay. We did that.
And you did that.
I'd have to pull it.
What about paved New York? Well, paved New York just comes in. That's not a reimbursement.
That's probably just a direct payment from them under that program.
That EWR, we...
Streamwater recovery.
Yep, we should have gotten that.
So that should be sitting someplace already.
Now, National Grid, when are we getting that?
That could be tomorrow, could be Monday.
Okay. But
that's going to be hand-delivered to me. I have to sign off on it.
Okay.
It's $168,000.
It could be tomorrow. It could be Monday.
Monday. We had to submit an invoice to them to show what it was for.
Okay.
For their end, for their bookkeeping. So.
And immediately following that or very closely following that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
That communication.
And the touring routes,
touring routes is like a chip.
That's a reimbursement.
Right. You have to actually pay your vendor first.
Right.
Submit the paperwork for where you used it, checks that were cashed by your vendors to show they got paid, and then you get reimbursed.
Do you do that as completed type
Soon as I get a bill.
Yeah, you send it to him.
And you pay the bill. And the comptroller's office
gets
a canceled check back. Soon as I can get a photocopy of a canceled check, we put it in the comptroller's office. We submit the 75 form that shows where and how much money we want applied to different things.
But you piecemeal, it's not done all at the end. It's done as you spend the money, you get the checks back.
There are filing dates and there are filing payment times. It's usually quarterly. So that's on my end, but I can't fill it out until it's paid out.
Al, when are we gonna be done with that road completely?
Which one?
Willard.
Oh.
Well, let's talk about both of them. Let's talk about West Entry and
West Entry is gonna start being infill paved tomorrow, and probably the top you put on it Monday.
Okay, and then Willard?
Willard, as soon as we finish putting the structures in the ground, then that has to be milled and paved.
Monday's a holiday. Do they work on Monday?
No.
Some of them are. Yes. I believe Roselli's going to be paving on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
I know Tiroli's going to be working on Monday. Yeah.
They don't get those holidays.
Pardon me?
They don't get those holidays generally.
Especially if the sunshine.
Okay.
But I have a question that I think only our comptroller can answer. Can we pass a resolution with a budget transfer if these funds are not actually in place yet? And if we can't, does the unappropriated fund balance overall for the town have enough money in it to cover bills that are coming in?
Yes, that's we checked today, and it does.
Fine, then I'm happy.
Yeah. And with these, like Jerry said, we have to spend the money first, so we have to appropriate the funds.
Okay, then we're good. Good.
Yeah, because it was a couple months ago or a month and a half ago, we recall the second wave of the pavement management plan.
Yeah.
And those numbers were attached.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where the money's coming from, those programs.
I understand that.
Okay. Anything else for anybody?
No. Did you arrive at the total? Did you double check?
763,293. $763,293.85.
Okay, that sounds correct. You've got my cheat sheet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, anybody else? All right, we'll call the...
Just an end to that. So you move that money over, the reimbursements come back, they replace that. Any unspent money in the tour routes or chips can be carried over in the next year. Just so you know that.
Right.
We might not need all that to get this done. So if there's anything left, you know.
Yep. Okay. If there's nothing else, it's 6:53. We'll call the work session closed.